I want you to finish this sentence for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm just curious. Is there anyone here who has ever heard words that you're pretty sure hurt you worse than if you had been hit by a rock or a stick? I think most everybody. The hurt that can come from words is deep. And it goes often just deep inside of us. And I think because of that, it's even more difficult for an injury that happens like that to be able to heal, if it ever can heal sometimes. This is another question, and this one is challenging. Have you ever said words yourself that caused hurt, pain, or destruction to another person? And I don't want you to raise your hand, but I dare say I expect every one of us has. That's what we're talking about today in James chapter 3. Or that's what the scripture is about in James chapter 3. So today's message is a very practical, relevant, and I dare say difficult message, but it's one that I think we all need to hear. Before we get into that, there's a part of this scripture that when I read it, I said we need to talk about this. And it's related to the whole idea of words and what's being said. But I want to look at the first verse of what was read. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers." And I want to stop right there. This month is the beginning of our new Sunday school or small group year, and so we have some new teachers. And I'm thinking, you know what, Satan would love to take that scripture and say, And they say, well, you know, I'm not sure I should have signed up to be a teacher. I didn't know that meant I was going to be judged and more strictly and harshly, and I don't know that I'm ready for this. Maybe I just need to back away. I don't need to be teaching. Satan loves to have us be able to take things out of context and not understand what God really desires for us. So I want us to understand the teaching that's being talked about here, the context in what was going on with Jesus in that time, was that there were some people who were appointing themselves as teachers, and they were lifting themselves up, and they were claiming to have expertise that they didn't have. And so Jesus was saying, you must be careful of this and weary of doing that. But yes, that doesn't change the fact that in Scripture it does say we need to be careful, and we do have responsibility as teachers, but I want us to look at it from where I believe God desires us to see it. Another paraphrase of this Scripture comes from The Message. It says it this way, "Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work." So in other words, you don't take it for granted. You don't just do that for yourself. And by the way, it's not just talking about it for me. I'm not understanding that just as a teacher in terms of being a Sunday school teacher or teaching the Bible, although that very much is relevant here. I believe it can extend further because we can claim to have authority over other things. Now, I think there's a degree of seriousness when you claim to have authority over Scripture and are teaching it in a way that God doesn't intend it to be taught. But we are all teachers in some way at some point in time, and we need to be careful of the attitude we have when we're doing that. A teacher, sometimes in this context, would not just refer to themselves as a teacher, but in this context also refer to themselves as a master. I want you to think for a minute. Maybe you did this as a child, but I expect you at least saw someone doing it as a child. Do you ever hear or see or part of younger kids when they played school? You played school and you had a teacher and you had students and you had some you'd use a blackboard. I see, Carrie. And I know my boys did, and they would have friends come over. And who was the teacher? Who wanted to be the teacher? Most of the time, everybody wanted to be the teacher. And a lot of times they would take turns being a teacher, but inevitably it started off probably being the oldest one was the teacher. But in this case, when you're playing school, when you're playing teacher, it was about control. It was about being able to tell somebody else what to do. We're not to play teacher. We're not to just do something because it's about us, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Another thing that's important, too, that Jesus teaches all throughout Scripture is that our words, our actions are to reflect our words. Whatever we teach, we should also exemplify in the way that we live our lives. And even for a teacher, I would go so far as to say it's better to assume the position of a learner. A teacher can also be a learner. Should be a learner. I get to teach the preschoolers in chapel every week. But I can tell you, almost every week, God uses those preschoolers to teach me something. But I have to be willing to allow that to happen. It could be something about that a struggle that I'm having in my own life, and just through that, the questions they ask, through the responses they give, through the conversations I'm having with them, God speaks to me about what's going on. Has it ever happened to you, Dave? Because Dave's there helping me with chapel too. So teaching is about attitude, and a teacher, I believe, also needs to have exemplify the role of a learner as well as teacher. And I believe realizing this will prevent us from being as likely to judge others. There's another thing that it says in here too at the beginning of the scripture, and I want you to get it, because as a teacher, you're going to fall short. And we're talking today about using words and how words can hurt people and how they can be destructive. But all of us, even if we do everything and we follow the way the Spirit wants to, we're still going to mess up. And Scripture tells us this, because it says, because you know that we who teach, we all stumble in many ways. We all make mistakes. No one is perfect. This carries over into the whole teaching thing. The whole thing about using words carries over into what we really want to talk about today, and that's the tongue. That's the way we use our speech. And we actually got it last week from James chapter 1, verse 26, and I said that was going to lead into this week. And just if you need a reminder, this is what James 1, verse 26 says. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Vain is what David said. That's pretty convicting. When we go back to what we're talking about with the children about the tongue and of what we read in the scripture about it being a small part of the body, but that it's powerful. And we had the part of the horse's bridle, and the bit that you put in the horse's mouth, and the ship, and you realize how small those things are. But truly, it's able to guide a horse that weighs so much more than the person that's riding a ship that is huge. It could be a cruise liner, but this rudder, that although it may not seem small if you look at it, compared to the size of the ship, it's tiny. But it controls the direction the vessel moves. And according to Scripture, our tongue controls the rest of our body, the direction we head, the what is in front of us, the steps that we're taking. And a part of this can lead to destruction. The words we say and hear can shape our destiny. And they use another example, lots of analogies here in James chapter 3, and it has the forest fire. The forest fire starts with a spark, or starts with a match, or starts from a campfire where something just blows away and it gets out of control. I want you to think about that for a minute. A forest fire can start with something so small, and then it just kind of gets carried away. And you know what happens if there's wind? It escalates and it can move even faster. When our words are hit by the wind of gossip or the wind of one person telling another person without consideration for what's going on, the same type of destruction can happen with our words. And you know, when a forest fire starts going, it has no consideration for what's in its path. It will take anything. And the same can happen with our words. And you know what? We were talking about responsibility and talking about how teachers are responsible. Well, you know, today I believe this is put in juxtaposition to each other, because we're to understand that we have responsibility for our words. You see, when someone's just having a conversation and talking about what they think something is, that's an opinion, and they're having a conversation with someone on kind of level ground, similar thing. But if you're a teacher and you claim to have expertise and you tell somebody this, is you're conveying it in a different way because you have knowledge of what it is you're talking about. Well, as of today, even if you didn't know it before today, you know, I know what the scripture says about the words that come from our mouth, about the destruction that they can cause, and we will be held responsible for that destruction because God has made us aware of it. There's so often that we can say, we want to say, like the spark. Well, it was just an offhanded comment. It was just, I just said that. I didn't mean anything by it. And that may be true initially. But if you've taken time to think about it today and we've looked at the scripture the way it is, there's a degree of responsibility that we have, particularly as believers, in our conversation, that we will be held responsible for. I said that words can shape our destiny. There was a grown adult that told me, and I've never forgotten the words. Fortunately, I don't believe this in any way shaped my future, but I was 14 years old and he looked me in my eye and told me I would never amount to anything. Fortunately, there were other people around that heard and knew of that situation who helped me to understand that was not true, and who gave me encouragement, and who allowed me to take steps in a direction other than which that would have gone, but it doesn't always happen that way. Another thing I want to share is that a lot of times words, they don't have to be mean words, they don't have to be hateful words in order to be harmful and destructive. This is words that might come from a teenager. I'll never let the days you said, I'll never forget the days you said, I don't care. It didn't seem like you thought these three words really hurt me, but they did. When I asked if I could stay out late with my friends, you said, I don't care. When I asked if I could play volleyball at school, you said, I don't care. And you lived up to your word with your total uninvolved, disinterested actions. You said it when you left me alone to take care of my three younger brothers, even though I had plans. You dropped it on me 5 minutes before I had planned to leave the house, and when I protested, you simply said, I don't care. Now I really understand those words. You said them so many times that I think I forgot their meaning. You really didn't care. Will you care when you read this? Would you care when I'm gone and you lose me in the fog of depression for eternity? Then forget about it. You just keep on saying those three words. I get it now, and I have nothing else to say to you. I've lived with you for 16 years, and you've taught me well. I don't care anymore either. We will all make mistakes. And young people, I want you to understand there are times that your parents, that other people in your life may set boundaries, things that you don't understand, things that may seem hurtful. But when you have someone that cares, even when they make mistakes, it's something you can be thankful for. On the other hand, if there's anybody that's feeling a tinge of guilt from what was just had, I promise you God did not have you come here today to have that feeling. It was an opportunity, because if that is a feeling you came to just from hearing that, it's because there was something that was already there that God wants to free you from. And that's to realize that that's not a place that you have to live. There's opportunities, there's new beginnings to be able to take steps in a direction of sharing words that bring healing and hope and promise and love. And that's what I want us to hear and celebrate today. There's one other thing, and I've not got a story about it. It's just a pet peeve that has happened, and it's been going on for years. I don't hear it as much now as I have in the past, but I still hear it occasionally. And that's this this phrase that people try to use almost as a get-out-of-jail-free card. There can be words that we say that can be harmful or hurtful or words we just didn't think about. And when we realize that maybe it wasn't that great, we just throw on the end of it, "Just kidding." A number of people that I know of who've had these words said and been "just kidding" gets put on the end of it. It didn't make a difference at all to have the "just kidding" said. And then it's even been shortened now. You, instead of saying "just kidding," you can say "JK." Not sure how that makes it any better. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because even I, with some of you here, we carry on and joke and say things that are kidding. And that's a way of relating that can be healthy and acceptable and okay. But the thing is, when you're doing that, you need to make sure that you have a relationship where you understand that person and what's happening, and not making assumptions. There's some people you can have that type of conversation with, and others you can't, at least not until you get to a point of having an intimate enough relationship that both of you are certain what's happening in that conversation. So I'm not saying that you can't ever have fun. I'm not saying you can't joke around. But I'm saying that you have to be thoughtful in the way that you use your words. I think that's what Scripture is saying about the way that we need to use our words. That's how destruction can happen. Building up is something we need to do more of. And I'm going to make someone feel very uncomfortable right now. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. She didn't know this. And we don't... It's a shame sometimes that it feels uncomfortable. Come on up, honey. But we don't build each other, even as believers, we don't build each other up as much as we should. And some of the ones we do this for the least are the ones who are closest to us. And so I want, before you today, to tell you how much I love this woman and how special she is to me. Not just because she puts up with me, but because she cares for me in spite of my weakness. She sees where I fall short, and when I do, she tries to get behind me, beside me, in front of me, whichever position at that point in time she feels God wants her to be in order to help me to be the person God wants me to be. She prays for me. She spends time with me sometimes just taking care of me when she would a whole lot rather be doing something else. She makes sacrifices. God has given her as a gift to me. And I appreciate that. And I'm sorry for the times I take you for granted. But I know that I'm a better person. I'm a better father. I'm a better Christian. Because of who you are in my life. And I love you. The sad thing is, I don't do that enough for my wife. She knows that. She knows that I love her and care for her. But I'm pretty sure that's going to make a difference. Not just that I'll get a better lunch today, but I think it makes a difference not only to her, but to me. to have said those words, to acknowledge who she is and to not take her for granted. And we need to do that with people in our lives, constantly building them up. But I ask you, why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult to use the language that God desires us to use? I want to tell you why it's difficult, because whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever is on our tongue, is directly correlated and related to what is inside of us. And so if we have jealousy, if we have bitterness, if we have anger, if we have anything that comes from those types of sin, we as human beings don't have the ability to stop our tongue from conveying that. Now, we may be able to talk like we're supposed to at church. We may be able to talk like we're supposed to in front of our employer. We may be able to not say things we're not supposed to school officials. But eventually, somewhere or another, those words are going to come out, and it's usually with the people that we're closest to. We cannot change that ourselves. We have to be changed from the inside out. And I tell you that then what we say becomes a reflection of what's on the inside. So I'm inviting you today to respond in whatever way God would ask you. And you know, Scripture's already said none of us is perfect. All of us have a place we can improve. So I want you to consider today, where is it that God is trying to nudge you to say, this is a place, this is a time that I want to be able to help you be different on the inside, reflected on the outside. Let me use one other example. It talks about the fresh water and salt water here and how the two can't mix and become one. Let me use an example that may hit home a little bit more. Think of a water fountain. And you've got this water fountain. You push a button and water comes out. It's supposed to be cold, fresh, clear, pure water. But you do that and all of a sudden what comes out is warm, muddy, smelly water. Are you going to want to drink that? Now suppose that same water fountain every once in a while, clean, pure, cold, good water comes out of it. But you're not sure when the other's going to come out. Are you going to want to drink out of it then? No, because you don't know when the other's going to come. It's of no use to you. The same is true with our tongues and the way we talk. When we're one way and one time and one way the next, we can't be a reflection of who God desires us to be. That's why it says, praise and prayer cannot come out of the same mouth as cursing and slander. Any more than you can have a good water fountain that both the muddy and the clear water come out of. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward, and as they do, I want you to consider, what direction is your tongue taking you today? Remember, we talked about the bit in the horse's mouth, the rudder on the ship, and that they steer the large body, the vessel, the horse. Your tongue will steer you in some direction based on the conversations and the words that come out of it, but it's not just about that tongue, it's about what's inside of you as well. So today, I want you to be honest with yourself. And you come before God Almighty, and I promise you, every single one of us here has room for improvement, and He will help us do that before we take a step out of this room, because that's what He desires. So I beg of you today to make a decision, whatever the decision is that God's calling you to do. I will be here. I would love to pray with you. I would ask that you pray for me. I fall short as well. I am not perfect. My words need to be better connected to the person God desires me to be. None of us any longer can say, you know, oops, that just slipped. We're responsible for what comes out of our mouth. And God enables us to make it better each and every day. Amen. The altar's open. If you desire to come and be a part of this church in any way, shape, or form, in membership, wanting to be more involved in other ways, love to have that conversation with you as well. But let's stand together and sing together, Pure in Heart, O God, hymn number 492.
Sing all.